And this explains the department that will go on with all the quarterly reports so that we are able to follow them up. But before we start, Jerry, are there any apologies?
Chair, the apologies I have here in front of that were quite a Mrs. Makubela will not be in the meeting, and Mrs. Adams will not be here as well. Mr. Lekwa is also. Thank you.
I am Mrs. Robert, chair in this committee. On my right is Swo Kuzwayo, Connect Advisor. On my left is Jerry Bolkina, Committee Secretary. Can the members introduce themselves and the department that are... Can the members and the department introduce themselves and all our guests to let us know who they are? Actually, I'm here by default. I've been booked off it from Wednesday, but I never managed to host it. Thank you. Can we start?
Thank you. Firstly, I must apologize for being late. I was getting lost. My name is Asanda Maturin from the EFF. Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Members. I'm Manuku Masehela, a member of this committee representing the African National Congress from Limpopo Province. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is James Force. I'm the DA spokesperson on tourism, and I am from the Western Cape Province.
Good morning. My name is Greg Kambach. I'm the DA representative on tourism from the province of KwaZulu-Natal.
Ngibo SAS resident Kata Freedom Party.
Good morning everybody. I'm the governmental liaison officer in the Director General's office to the report. Thank you.
Good morning, my name is Nurani Samula. I'm the Chief of Staff in the Ministry of Tourism.
Good morning everyone. My name is Bunkin Tuli. I'm the researcher for the committee.
Good morning. My name is Rubuyo Sasa, within the media, writing for Sawara newspaper and this one as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Firstly, I want to just also register the apologies from the minister. He is attending the meeting that has been called by the president. And also the Deputy Minister's apology as well. My name is Victor Karage. I'm acting Director General for this party.
Morning, Honorable Chair and Members. Jackson Palpay, the CEO of the National Farm Health Service.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Members. My name is Moro Marantele, DDG for the Republic.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Members. Alini Milan, I'm the DDG for International Tourism Management.
Morning, Chair and Members. Ralph Ackerman, CFO.
Morning everybody, Ismail Hussain from the Parliamentary Marketing Group.
Good morning everyone, Natasha Robbins from the Department of Tourism.
Good morning everybody, my name is Johan Christian, winemaker, Cranbrook and Matubala.
Thank you very much. DDG, the body in your court can take us to the quarterly report. Sorry. Before you
said, yeah, I'm sorry. I actually just came in this morning to to say goodbye to you and the members. I'm in our party, I'm the only business one or guy. I'm selling drugs to little children in Gauteng, so I'm the only businessman in the party. I'm just joking. In our party. But they're fighting me out of tourism. I'm going to trade and industry, and they're actually waiting for me in trade and industry, so Professor Mickey Mung will probably call is going to introduce me to trade and industry this morning. So I actually just came in to say goodbye and thank you for and all the members and all the support staff and everyone and all my comrades that I had here and for the time that I had, and I really enjoy it. I'm sorry the other members are not here that I wanted to say goodbye to as well. I don't want to keep you any longer. Thank you for the time that I could have spent here, and God bless and may this committee just grow and say that. Dear woman.
Thank you very much for that, but I'm sure somebody will replace you.
There will be next week somebody I will bring in here as well, just introducing to you. They're actually waiting, and you'll get a letter obviously as well in the first. I'm just going to be introduced to trade and industry now, but they're waiting for me.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy trade and industry. Thank you very much. All to you, DTC.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sheridan and Honorable Member. We have three reports to go through. The first one being the report for the period third quarter of the 2014-15 financial year. Second report being the fourth quarter of the 2014-15 financial year, and the final report being the third quarter of the 2015-16 financial year. Honorable Chairperson, we would like to propose that in terms of the first report and the second report, we present what the status was overall for the first one, which is the first quarter of 2014-15. Each of the programs then would zoom into areas at that time that had presented a challenge. We will then move on to the fourth quarter, and take a similar approach, but highlight whether those challenges were recurring into that fourth quarter and how we actually dealt with them. We are proposing this chairperson so that we have adequate time to deal with the report for the current financial year, but we would have been able to actually highlight what it is that has actually happened in the previous financial year within the quarter. And obviously the last quarter report for the previous financial year would also deal with some of the details, I should say, with regard to the closing report of the previous financial year. So if the chair agrees, we'll take that particular approach. And then go into that.
I'm sure the honourable member won't have a problem with that.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. We will then go straight into the first quarter.
And we are going to put up This is the third quarter of the previous edition, which essentially at that time we were at 77% of the market and we had
we did have an area that actually required a degree of action. If you look at this, you see that the first problem is the fifth dimension problem. We actually were on track. We were on track with regards to what we had targeted, but there were areas that we needed to actually finalize. Those new areas we saw is going to be problem to quality and knowledge services, which is a problem that I am also responsible for. We were on track, but there were three areas that actually needed further attention, and we will explain them what those areas were. And in terms of the international program, the percentage looked significant, and the reason for that is because the number of targets, the lower the number of the targets that they actually had, it is even just one area not being fully achieved. Instantly becomes a significant percentage within the proper context. They will talk to the people in terms of what are those specific areas, and then the domestic tourism problem as well. If I may, Honorable Chairperson, while on the floor, maybe then talk to what were those areas with regards to problem two, and then the CEO will then come to the areas with regards to problem two. I'm not sure if all of them have got the hard code. On page 28 of this particular report, I'll drag you a little bit to the record. The area that at that particular time was one of those three areas that we analyzed at that point of time. We were developing the database with this information across the country, and also with some kind of a guideline for the people that are operating this particular information. The work was done, but there was consultation that still needed to be done with the users of Fountain, and that is why at that particular time we did not get some competition. This is work that by quarter four was fully completed, and we already now in operation, the guidelines are out, the extra that are out, so when people actually want to know where the different things are, and what are the conduct videos and so on, so on, they also need to access them. The second one, all of which other things, for the one that follows that still under this particular KPI, which relates to our gateways. We put a gateway to our international airport, which is fully operational now. We had a site identified for a gateway at the base station for the post. There were subsequent developments of border management and the control systems within the border environment. And the site that we had originally was no longer viable because people were no longer going to pass through the actual spot that we had originally designated. The mobile facility that we had actually created that was actually going to be on that particular site, we now have identified there's a need for it for them to be able to provide information, because that's the gateway almost into the whole of the waterway area. So we are facilitating that with the municipality, and we assist them in terms of how to actually run it and operate a life overall. So that also would be part of what would have an impact on the annual target for last year for programs to as such, which would then indicate this or something that was partially achieved, not necessarily fully achieved, given that one was fully operational and the other one was not necessarily fully operational. But
all the files that they have been done. The next one is on page 29. This particular one, we had a number of studies that we had identified in this university. All studies were completed, with the exception of the study that we are undertaking with the University of Sydney. And a number of interventions subsequent to that. I personally had a couple of meetings, one with the North Camp, and I also had subsequent meetings with the then Deputy Vice Chancellor of the Strong Group for research and academic others. We had challenges with the capacity that was there. That included the passing of new people coming into the project from time to time, and also just the Department of Tourism's own capacity to be able to make sure that there was adequate conditions for the study. So we have registered our concerns with the Department of Tourism, and subsequently, with the Department of Tourism, the investigators have indicated to us that they do feel that at this point in time they don't have any adequate capacity. But we need to do this work within the environment, which is within the KZN area, because the letter that we wanted was different. So we are now working with the University of KwaZulu-Natal, which is then basically taking this watch and really concluding this process. They have refunded our money to the production of the industry, so that's the process. But the most important part is that we were able to come to a workable solution where we will still be able to continue with the work that needs to be done, and we will still be able to have access to the environment that we actually want to access with investors where it has adequate capacity to be able to do it. The third area is the police station. This is an area where we were developing the certain code for broad-based economic empowerment. At that particular time, we're saying this would have already been approved and submitted for approval and everything. It did not necessarily complete at that particular time. This is work that has been completed by the end of the year. It was fully completed and it has already even been conducted by the DCR. And here, Honorable Chairperson, we can also say that the tourism chapter was the first one to be able to actually get through this perspective, and to get the approval of the Minister of the DDI and to be able to get this diversity. Currently, it is actually running, the submissions are being made by the DDI, and we will then get the final verdict from the DDI once the submissions are completed. And we are hoping that then we will be able to comment with the implementation. I tried on the chairperson to speak to both this quarter, but actually one of the other quarter, which is the quarter for the investment going through areas of challenges that we experienced. In problem two, what was not achieved in the end of quarter four was basically the Bay Bridge Gateway, as well as the studies that we're talking about, the studies that we're talking about with the university. So that in brief is essentially what transpired. All other subjects we also may have seen.
Thank you, okay, members. On the, I'm just going to talk from the document on the third quarter of program one. The two issues that was listed, one was that the risk report as per the task which goes to the audit committee. Although there were some changes in the guidelines and the department established a risk committee per se. So the risk report was at that time not submitted to the audit committee, and I think that was the one that you sort of is the administrative process. But that has been corrected in the in quarter four. And I think then the main one was around our strategic objective, reach out to tourism stakeholders. That's slide 25, where we've only achieved 91% of our plan, implementation plan. The two things that we haven't done at that stage is one, to formalize the cooperative learning plan for the department. And the second one, the support towards stakeholder community participation. That one we are rendering a specific service to either the account general or the DDGs from the branches or the technical authority. And due to timelines and diary issues, those things have all been taken care of in the fourth quarter. Then on the fourth quarter, there was one target that we hit that we haven't achieved. Again, that was on our communication strategy implementation plan. We do have contacts with the staff of the department, of which one is scheduled in March. All planning, everything has taken place, and that would have taken place on the 25th of March. But again, due to diary matters, cluster meetings, parliamentary commitments, that has been moved the 1st of April. So as far as what we put as a target for the year as a quarter of four has not been achieved in our minds because we were one day late in sort of having that the hold up with the stuff. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, members. I will be talking to the areas in the branch international tourism management that was not delivered in quarter three, and I will also then close to quarter four. In quarter two, there were two areas that were not fully achieved as per the document. So one should be to the final review of the Indaba expansion policy, which at that stage... Slide 36. It refers to the final review of the implementation of the Indaba expansion policy. Members, Chair, you will be aware that we at that point have looked at the Indaba and how we can do it better. And at that point, we were not the review was not completed, but we subsequently did it in the end of or by the end of quarter four. The other matter, two pages on page 38, speaks to the development of a draft proposal for our position within the African Union. One of the areas that we are working on as a department is driving the national interest within, South African interest within the region, but then also within the continent, and therefore supporting the position that there must be a tourism chapter within the African Union. And while that is being established, we are also developing our position as a department in what we would like to be, that we would like to see within the African Union. And by the end of quarter three, That position, the draft position, was not developed, but we caught up on that issue and we did it in quarter four. So those are the areas in quarter three that we did not deliver. But both of them, honourable members, honourable chair, that they were done in quarter four and therefore by the end of the financial year. Thank you.
Quarter 3 and quarter 4 and highlight the areas where we didn't achieve. On quarter 3, we had 19 targets, managed to achieve 14, and 4 were not achieved. Of those 4, 3 were related to the TIP program, which we shifted to PKS from quarter 4. And the target that we couldn't achieve was on EPWP in terms of the quarter target that we set, which was 1,992. We only managed to achieve 1,049. And the reason for this being that we had the budget cut, which basically the FTEs are linked to the budget that is available. At the same time, we had a reduction of the labor intensity from 35 to 25 so that we can have the infrastructure materials. We use the money for the materials. At the same time, we had a procurement delay due to unresponsive bids mainly on the training program for the FRI. And we also had a suspicion of collusion on this for training. So we had to get some guidance from the commissioner regarding this bid. Hence the delay in terms of making sure that we achieve the target. And these issues also affected the overall target in terms of quarter four, where we had, for quarter four, we had 16 targets. We only managed to achieve 11, 3 still related to the TIP, and the other one being the EPWP with those reasons given. And as such, we couldn't even access the incentive grant because it is based on the performance. Once we exceed the target, then they are able to release the incentive grant for us to be able to continue to get more targets in terms of the FTE. Thank you.
With the end of quarter four, we were at 86% of our deployment. Essentially, we were able to achieve 67 out of 66 of what we had planned to do, with a lot of significant work that had taken place, but about 5% of our target overall for the previous financial year did not. So that's really what happened in the past financially in those last two quarters. And I think the CFO would also then come in and give a picture of how the finances actually relate to what we are saying with regards to what we did and what we said.
Thank you, sir. If you look on the fourth quarter report on page 4, there you can see the administration descending up to the end of March, 97%, policy and knowledge services, 100%. That's four. But it's a four quarter report. Commissar Knowledge Services, 100%, International Tourism, 99.8%, Domestic Tourism, 94.7%, and then the total spending for the park was 98.4%. If you go to page 6, it gives you a breakdown for economical classification. You can see that the spending for current payments, we had a variance of 6.8 million, transfers and subsidies, 18.8 million, and you will see that the majority of that money is linked to the households, and I think it was explained that it is linked to the PWP, where we only can draw the money on performance. So we could not use that money for anything else because it's earmarked for the Spanish Public Works Department. If you look at the next page, page 7, it just gives you a breakdown of our expenditure. 30% was credit payment, balances and subsidies, and then our capital expenditures was 1%. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Mr. Shepard. The previous years, quarter 3 and quarter 4. So we go to this one.
So that you are able to engage on everything that you've given us with us.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Quarter 1 of 2018, 16 financial year, we will go through this in a lot more detail than we've done with the others. And then each program will go through the details of what we were able to do and what we were not able to do. Suffice to say that we are still on track in terms of how we have planned. There are some challenges that we've experienced, but we will share with you what those are and the lessons that we've drawn from that and how we are actually overcoming those particular challenges. I will give the CEO for the opportunity to speak to the finances before we actually go into the details about so that we then the context would actually be properly painted in terms of what is it that we're doing. And then followed by the COO and then we'll all follow the particular process.
Up to the end of 30 June 2013, administration has increased 49 million, 21.2%. Policy and knowledge services by 463.66 million, that gives you 38.14%. The reason for a high amount in policy and knowledge services is to increase our transfer payment to our policy and tourism. And we do in April, we do a transfer to them, which includes all the international tourism marketing activities. The reason for that is so that we can get the best value for money taking the exchange rate into consideration. So we pay them in advance in April already. International tourism, the spending was 12.8 million, 27.4%. Domestic tourism, the spending was 77.4%. million, and the issue 25.3%. The scope of the department, I think, 33.5%. On the next slide, it's interesting on the classification. You can see that the current payment was 86.5 million. That is your compensation for employees, your salaries, and then that is your services. And then there's the transfers. Then you can see that it includes the department's skill addition in the accounts. That's your amount to SA Tourism, 452.9 million. And then our capital assets is a small amount, 1.4 million. And then our total expenditure, as I said, was 603 million, which is 33.5%.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Perhaps I'll just go to the performance. I think the acting DJ has already indicated through that slide on what has been achieved. Achieved was 28%, 14.4% has not been achieved, or has been achieved, significant work has been done, then not achieved, right on the top target that we set for the whole quarter, was 7.2%. So the next slide, I think, just give a pie chart of what has been achieved, significant, and then the 7% that we haven't achieved. If I can go to administration, I think I would like to highlight and go through the details. Under the first strategic objective, we've achieved our targets. In relation to the strategic plan and the APP that has been submitted into the parliamentary domain, to Treasury, to DPME, and we've already interacted with portfolio committee on that one. The next one is the number of strategic documents developed and implemented. As far as that is concerned, we've also dealt with all our expectations or requirements. Then on the next one, which is to ensure economic efficiency, number of public entities oversight reports. We are in compliance, met all the compliance issues in relation with the Public Finance Management Act towards the oversight of SAT. We set a maximum vacancy rate of 8%. For the first quarter, our target was 11%. The reason for that is normally the experience is after the end of the financial year, a lot of people get promotions or leave government. But I can say that we've retained our vacancy rate at 5.8%. In the previous year, I think we were also at 6%. The one target that we've defined is the next one, maintain a minimum of 50% of women is our yearly target. 49% was target for quarter one, and we are 48%. So what it means is that people are taking out good employees from other departments to other departments. We really need to sort of work on that one, but I'm comfortable that we've got processes in place to deal with that. Then on the work skill plan, we've met all our targets there on percentage compliance with prescripts, the management and labor. We've met our timelines in relation to the Labor Relations Act, dealing with grievances, misconduct. I must say there's very few of them coming through our system. Number of employees and wellness programs. We've done the one wellness program that we planned for quarter one. On the ICT, we've met our targets around the implementation of the strategic plan. I think we're ahead of what we're supposed to do, but the percentage that's been met there. We submitted our financial statements and all the requirements in relation to the PFMA to Auditor General. That all happened on the 29th of May. We just received the feedback from them, which will, I assume, come into effect once we've tabled the annual report. Percentages are answered in the reported plan, we are on par,
as our external audit and just for information for the committee that we've also adjusted our internal audit plan to utilize the first 6 months more sort of deal with outcomes and audit where we in the past, the first quarter was not that specific going into the detail of projects. The one that we haven't met, but a lot of work was done, was the one in relation of the cabinet and ASTA coordination protocol. That has been completed. We just admitted it into the acting director general's domain. And the reason for us for the delay is that there was a lot of planning still taking place within the cabinet structure, linking to the medium-term strategic framework, and some amendments that will happen on that level and have effect on our protocol. But all of those matters have been clarified since. Then on the potential implementation of the communication strategy, the one thing that we haven't formalized yet is the corporate memorabilia plan. We are busy with the whole rebranding process, and that has taken much longer than we anticipated, but this will be formalized in this quarter. Then on the compliance percentage of tourist complaints, this is the first, remember the Act Payments Report last year, the complaints officer has been assigned, and we've dealt with all the complaints that we received within our framework document, and I must say I think this is where we really add value in directing complaints to the right places. Quite a lot of the complaints coming in our area might not be necessarily related to tourism, but we still try and manage that into the right domains. Then on the expenditure received for procurement, we are in compliance with the GE Act as amended and utilizing level 1 to 8 for all our procurement processes. Thank you, Honourable.
Thank you, Honourable Member.
I seem to have misplaced one of my... Yes, I'm right. The first target that we were dealing with it relates to the broader stakeholder arrangement that we've got within that. This is something that we do twice a year where we have a detailed, very robust discussion about the implementation of the National Tourism Sector Strategy. So this particular session takes place half yearly, sometime in September, then it then takes place the next one around the end of the financial year. So there was nothing that necessarily was targeted here. There's a whole lot of other things that take place here. There are specific task teams that go into details of what is happening within industry, what is happening within our own domain as well in terms of implementation, what happens within the provinces and then to some extent also within the local governments. And these forums that I'm talking about, they have a high level of representation. The DDGs are also part of that. And we also have representation of some of the CEOs within the industry. But they help us to be able to understand the environment and its implications for what we want to achieve with regards to the NTSS. The second area, what we had planned to do was to do an environmental scan, a detailed environmental scan. We took a bit of time here in terms of actually sourcing people that will actually be able to give us a very diverse but yet independent opinion of what exactly the kind of environment within which we are going to review the NTSS
So subsequently, we have got the people on board, and we have made some strides, if I could put it that way, in terms of the actual detailed analysis of this environmental scan. This is what is going to inform the detailed areas that are going to be the major areas of focus for the next 5 years in terms of what the NTS is actually going to focus on. So we do believe that we have regained that ground that we had lost over that particular period, and we are now fully on track to be able to deliver the overall NTS target on time. On page 20, the issues that the CEO was talking to in terms of the implementation of the Act, the prioritization has been on the development of the tourist guiding regulation. And we have some kind of draft which was informed by, we did some work already in the previous year with regard to the framework of what are these areas that are implicated by the changes in the Act and what are the things that need to be dealt with within that. So this draft that we have developed, it will now then start going into consultations and so on and so forth. These are matters of law reform, so obviously we will also be talking to the Secretary and Chairperson and so being able to get that particular thing to be able to share with the committee as to what it is that we are doing. Our approach, Chairperson, is that even though there are regulations and we know that the regulations are within the domain of the executive, it is always a good thing to come to the committee and also share with the committee what are the things that we are actually going to do with regard to the matters and so on and so forth, and to also get some guidance in that regard. With regard to the broad-based black economy and empowerment, there is a focus that we had identified, which is really how are we going to get SMEs into some form of a platform where they will then be able to access opportunities that exist within the broader large business category in terms of procurement facilitation. But this is a lot broader because these SMEs that we're talking about are not only in the area of tourism, but SMEs that can supply to tourism. And that is an integrated program that would also bring in other departments in terms of the areas that really have an effect on what they do and so on and so forth. What we already have here, we do have all the areas, particularly on hospitality. What are the things that people need? And I believe when we come back next time, we should bring the booklets. There are booklets that are actually outlining the nature of the services that would necessarily be required and so on and so forth. And this would also link to the work that we're doing in terms of strengthening our approach to SME development going forward. A big partner in this way will be the new Department of Small Businesses, and we are having some discussions with them as well in terms of how we can actually collaborate in this area so that we do not have duplications. The next area, page 21, is our continued capacity building program that we are running with the University of Pretoria that targets local government. We really are looking at some form of an expansion in form of decentralization of this program so that it can actually then begin to reach the people that are coming to attend where they are as opposed to them coming into Pretoria all the time. But it's progressing well. There's more work that we actually need to do in this particular phase, which we will also share with the committee with regard to methods of planning and so on. Our view is that we really need more detailed information for local government. And that information is information to tell us what actually is happening within that particular locality.
and the arrangements that are there in terms of the products that are there, in terms of the structures that are there, as well as so forth. So that our assistance would then be sharply focused on exactly what the needs of each of these different municipalities specifically. So that would really take a lot of effort with the provinces, because we rely really on the provinces to be able to facilitate some of this coordination with the municipalities themselves. So these are discussions that we are having at a level of INTEC, which is the meeting of the officials at national as well as the HODs and SALGA is part of that particular discussion. Whilst we are reviewing the NTS, the reporting on the implementation of the current NTS is not stopped. So that is on track, and we continue with that work. The other aspect that we are focusing on is universal accessibility. And there is an area of capacity building that we've identified, particularly for products that are within provincial parks. And in that sense, we've got a full manual that has been developed, and the training is going to take place within those particular areas. We've already engaged people that would, professionals that would actually perhaps. But it's not as intense. It's almost a kind of training that is given to people that work in airports and in those other points of service that relate to providing services to people that have got special needs. And this is an area that we are comfortable that it's on track, and we are also comfortable that we will be able to achieve it in the time that it's actually been targeted to complete. We also have one of the we have identified in the previous year, we had identified certain areas that require intervention with regard to the capacity of the tour guide. And these areas in particular, we have got Northern Ireland Museum, and also we've got the same Fort Dome that was also identified. With regard to the Northern Ireland Museum, obviously you would recall that we did indicate that as part of the destination development approach, there is a huge focus on that. But when it comes to the specific elements of the tourist guide, what we have identified, one of the things is that you have a tourist guide who tells the story of Robin Island, but does not necessarily understand where the origin of that story is. And we are saying that they need to be exposed to the other areas. So if a person is going to tell this story, do they know the story of Lilith? Do they even know Lilith? Do they know the story of the Pathic Museum? Do they understand what actually takes place and so on? So that comprehensiveness, but also other soft skills that relate to actually telling the story, but also the language skills and so on. So that is a suit of business, and that is what is actually in that particular program. With the three-fold dome, the significance of three-fold dome is a physiological. Now, the guys do not necessarily have that level of expertise and knowledge of the geological formation of the area in that level of detail. We have engaged the University of Utah Science to be able to assist us. They've got a six-month program that allows people that are not necessarily coming from a geological background to be able to understand exactly the different formations and how it came about and so on and so forth, so that they're able to actually tell that story in a country. The other area there, Honorable Chairperson, which is not a short term, relates to the fact that it is a area itself is well known for river rafting. So it's about that along that area, there's a lot of river rafting activity that actually takes place. But most of the guys that are actually in the area, they are meeting out in this opportunity. Some of them obviously can't even swim. The question then that comes in is, how then do we prepare these people to be able to take advantage of this opportunity? But not just that, it has to get to a point where it's not only about the value,
there are other areas that are actually happening in terms of housing. So how do they make sure that that level of training, whether it is along the orange or whether it is along the junior floor, but how do we make sure that those guys that are actually already there? But the focus for this one for now is going to be on geological, and if we take it further, then it's going to go into other areas like what I've just mentioned. The page 24, information provision as the given where for Swale specifically, the given where which bank. This is area that we are working in close collaboration with agriculture and the entities that are dealing with the heritage aspect within agriculture. And we actually are looking at this training program, so the everything, all the details is already in place, and we have improved on a, we had a visa information program, which was run by the University of Pretoria very successfully. But this now takes that to a different level where it now is quite specific about how then do we actually disseminate the information in relation to the world issue side. So we are confident that the training can then start at any given point in time. We've got all these world issue sites on them. The other work that we're also doing through a domestic tourism program, which Osmo is going to talk to. But we are comfortable that this is a program that is actually going to be able to get fully rolled out across the different world issue sites during this financial year. We had reported previously that one of the findings, history by one of the findings for our, when we did the review of the sense of transformation in the sector, one of the areas that was identified as a real challenge was the empowerment of women, particularly in also at the leadership level, that was a big problem. So what we have in place, we have this problem that we've identified in the executive development program, which we are going to be targeting women who are already in management positions and would like them to actually get to an executive level position. And we have about four universities that we've identified, because we are really looking for a very credible program that will be able to the people to the next level. These are amongst others include the University of Cape Town, we're looking at that, we're looking at the University of Cape through the University of Pretoria, and so on. So, but we will then be in a position to say where the problem will be once we have concluded the process. So we don't want to get into the level of detail of say it's going to be University of, because that level makes the actual product that we then develop to conclude. But the main thing is about their own business education. Under the incentives, the TIP, we had identified this aspect of the destination development, and in particular, we spoke about Rovena in India, we spoke about Sabi, and we were focusing on the and we also spoke about Zenpak, and within Zenpak we were talking about Shagolibi, just outside Giani, and we were also talking about the wild activity happening in Kanamuru. The plans for all these are now in place, and we are now going into a phase of developmental planning. With regard to Robben Island, everything is actually in place, and that is ready for us now to actually commence with the process. Sandy is ready to commence with the process. Then we some few community issues that we've got to do, but once we've gone through that, we are able to actually say, okay, this is the commencement. There are other areas that are not necessarily listed here, that include Marupin, and it also includes the square kilometer in that particular area. There is no activity. People are going in and out, but there's absolutely no activity. So there are things in place to be able to actually also make sure that that place is adequately activated. And we're working with the Department of the environment and tourism development council. The next one is with regard to the tourism resource efficiency program. We issued an RFI and we have received a number of, not that many, if I recall, that about eight. Yeah, we received about eight responses of people that either are manufacturers of these kind of energy efficient technologies in the country or are claiming to be manufacturers. So we are ready now to go for request and proposal so that we can connect with the identified areas. And of course, as indicated originally, we are piloting most of this in state-owned, but with a small component also that relates to private sector. And we have got a number of about 50 establishments that have already been energy vetted, if I could put it that way, for efficiency and so on, and the requirement for them to actually reach certain levels of efficiency by the National Cleaner Production Center. And we will then have some of those so that we are able to actually see what the impact desired is ultimately. So we are comfortable that we are on track with regard to that one. Then the other aspects are actually on the other page. I'll talk to you later. We have spoken to the past issue. Let me talk to the market access program. With regards to the market access program, we have put out a request for people to actually join particular roadshows. And we received a number of applicants that actually wanted to do this. We drew some significant lessons in that program. The first one was that there are people that would want to go to some of these, but they don't necessarily have large amounts of cash that would actually allow them to travel to those places and then be removed. We had to look at this very closely and ask ourselves pertinent questions in terms of what would then be the best way to actually make sure that those people that may not have the funds of that particular instance are able to actually access this. And we realize that in some of this we would actually need to take a responsibility, pay for this, that we should actually make sure that those tickets are not tickets that if one does not travel, then we lose the ticket. It should be tickets that we should still be able to use at any given time. And we are looking at how best then do we make sure that we communicate that widely so that people are fully aware. We are using the mechanism of talking to the provinces because our provinces, I'll give you an example of what when we initiated this, they then decided that one, they would designate one of their own staff members to actually be a champion of this thing within the province and make sure that they get as many people as possible applying and even going out there to assist them with the application. So we are saying that is why we communicated to other provinces as well to say this is something that is actually working. We are eating so many things, meetings and so on. Communicated this is something that actually seems to be working and it is something that they may want to consider so that they actually get as many as possible. So we'll be able to see whether when there isn't the barrier, we'll actually then start getting the number picking up more and more. But all incentive programs, when you start, they don't go at the bank. They start low, and then they start growing, and start growing, and start growing. There is a number of what provinces call secondary markets. These are markets that EDC does not necessarily play in, but it may actually be another particular market. That's the way that we want to look into, because we do believe that over and above the shows that we've already identified, there's probably a lot more that are not necessarily listed, but that can actually bring much more of the market that is not necessarily self-sufficient. So those are some of the changes that we have brought into this. equally, when it comes to the greatness, what we have picked up on the chapter is that when we send out a request, because what we do, we get the information from the Salafi tourism that says their following have just been raided. So they have completed this process. And then we send to those to say, you completed, this is now second phase that is going to go through the process of election. What we are picking up is that a lot of these BNDs are not necessarily registered with countries. So these are social leaders. And as a result, because we had that requirement that we needed to actually get companies that are defined as such, CAGIPM, even though they are paying taxes and so on, it presented a little bit of a challenge. And as a result, we realized we needed to head back and realize it, what matters is the fact that these people are paying taxes. And not necessarily because if they are low traders, they are low traders, they are not necessarily going to change that sentence because we now require that activity. And a lot of newcomers may actually not be able to access on the basis of that. So that's something that we are also looking into. And we are saying through the same mechanism of ability, that information then will be disseminated. But provinces are also coming on board to say, we are actually going to talk to our establishments to know that this is how this process is actually going to be, and they will be able to actually then be in a position to do it. The SRI project that we have identified in terms of sustainability, we are going now to a phase of the viability assessment of each, because it's a case-by-case. So we have a list, but each one must now be evaluated to see if it meets or it doesn't meet, and after that then we get into how the sustainability partners would actually be doing the decision. Other areas, we've been doing some work in terms of information needs assessment. We've done a lot of work with industry bodies to get a sense of what are the needs of each of the sub-centers. And this will then be used for the outreach of our tourism knowledge process so that there's more and more information that is actually in place. We've got our plans ready for the Kinshasa International Airport. That is the second gateway that we are moving to. The third gateway then will be in the year after which will be the key combination. And this we are doing jointly with the Travel Case again for the second journey. We are on track with regards to the studies that we have the competitiveness, for instance, I just want to give a good example. The study that we did last year with CBOT, the Cape and Angola Institute of Technology, which has been really building this model to assess the impact of events and so on and so forth. We are now going to have a big scale of testing on that with the upcoming forest conference in September, which is hosted by the Department of Agriculture and Forestry. What about you, Chairman? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair members. I'm going to speak to quarter one in the program fee, international tourism management. And according to the summary slide, there are three areas where in quarter one the branch did not fully deliver or completely deliver on, and I will also highlight those. The first key performance indicator in the branch that speaks to the training that we do with DERCO on economic diplomacy. Members might remember that tourism is, since 2 or 3 years ago, a pillar of the economic diplomacy training, and we conduct that continuously with DERCO. We try to continuously do better, to coordinate better, and to ensure that the training that we do is actually containing the information that the participants want. What the target for the first quarter was that we should have agreed to a schedule with Zerko. Unfortunately, Zerko in the first quarter could not complete their schedule. So we as a sector could do our planning, but we could not agree with them to a schedule because they don't have a schedule as such. But nonetheless, we continued with the training. So although there is not a set schedule, which we would like to have to know that when we are going to do this planning, we are still continuing with the planning. So planning this takes place in the first quarter, but the schedule is not available yet. The second KPI speaks to the opportunities that we seek through, amongst others, our bilateral relations, the MOUs that we have with countries, so we will identify opportunities with some of the countries that we do have agreement with, and then we take advantage of those opportunities. This specific one speaks to training of chefs, the trainers of chefs, FET trainers, so training the trainers, through collaboration with France and our agreement that we have with France. The first quarter target spoke to the fact that we had to finalize the details of the training. The reason why the details are not finalized is that once we started to engage with all the counterparts, we realized that the scope is a bit bigger than what we thought. And it's important that we make sure that all stakeholders are on board. Although there is a commitment between the school, the FET college, and our French counterparts, there's also other stakeholders like the province. And we want to make sure that everybody's on board before we finalize the details. The third indicator speaks to the development of source markets. As a branch, we target those markets that, as the SDG calls them, might be secondary markets, so they might not necessarily be within the portfolio segmentation of South African tourism, but we believe that there are countries that we need to develop, and in future they might be graduated to be within South African tourism portfolio. We have identified 20 countries that we are working with in the current financial year, and we do it through a number of interventions. Some of them speak to seminars within the country with tour operators and stakeholders within the country that operate in those markets or in those countries, or we will do engagements within the countries with the outbound freight so that we make them aware of South Africa, and also where there are barriers, we identify those and we try to work with our counterparts in national government to lift those. In the first quarter, we targeted two trade seminars, that is within South Africa, speaking to trade, targeting specific markets. In this case, it was markets within Asia, Australasia, and also markets within the Americas. We did manage to do one of those. One didn't take place before the end of June, but it took place in July, so that's why it's reflected here if it wasn't done. We subsequently did it. It was just that the date fell out of the quarter. And the reason for that is that the team did a comprehensive preparation in terms of market insights of the countries that we've identified, so that when they go to seminars, they at least have something to present. It was a very successful seminar that was co-hosted by Westgroup in Cape Town. The reason why we hosted it in Cape Town is we discovered through working with CAPTA that most of the tour operators that's working in those countries that we identified for that seminar was based in Cape Town. So we hosted it there. And then the last one speaks to the other initiative that I spoke about, and that's engaging with new source markets with the trade there. and targeted one engagement in outbound tourism trade, and that was specifically done with Saudi Arabia and Minister visit there. Just to mention that the work that we are doing on bilateral relations and the work that we are doing on the multilateral platforms are part of our operational plan, and that's the whole ongoing work that we do on a continuous basis, and the opportunities that we seek and get there are being limited to the annual performance plan. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Can we just be brief so that there's enough time to for questions?
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to present on the domestic tourism management issue. The first area is a number of programs coordinated to inculcate the culture of travel among South Africans. In this instance, it's on the tourism month, which we are going to hold in the month of September. Already plans are put in terms of activities towards the celebration of the tourism day. And the home province is Limpopo. And the other area is on the partnership that we have with TAP on enterprise development for the part of our contribution in terms of budget, which is 13.45 million. We are saying they need to assist 100 rural enterprises to be supported. For the quarter, they have done what to do an assessment in terms of what is it that these 100 enterprises will need. They were only managed to do 59 assessments, and out of those 59 assessments, they had to come up with intervention plans for each and every enterprise they have identified. The other area is on capacity building programs. Here we have the NCCE, which is going to be held in Bloemfontein from the 1st to the 3rd of October. The plan has been finalized, and we will be able to make sure that it happens in October. We have educator exposure programs, which we convene with the various provinces, as well as the Department of Education within the province, to assist our educators to be able to teach the subject related to tourism in their respective schools. We are also expected to do a review of the THR strategy. For quarter one, we're supposed to have done the scan, which we couldn't manage to do, basically because the institution that we have identified to assist us in this instance, we had to make sure that the proposal is done in such a way that we'll be able to get the proper results. We have managed to finish that, and we're hoping that we'll be able to cover up in terms of the literature review and the other work. The other area is on food safety programs. Last year, we were piloting 100 with the three provinces. For this year, we want to roll it to all the provinces in the region. And we are having 300. We are going to recruit 300 food safety assurance. Currently, we are still in the recruitment phase, and we are engaging our strategic partner, which is at CASA, to see how can we enhance this program going forward. The other area on this capacity building, we have the local government induction programs that we run, targeting the SMMEs, not-for-profit organizations and co-ops, traditionally as well as municipal officials and councillors, in terms of the tourism as an area. Currently, what we have done was to sit down with the Bushbuckridge municipality. We indicated Malawi, the Drakensberg group. Basically, here are the districts within the group, which we have catered and having two, Free State 2 as well as Free State having two. So what we're going to do is to make sure that we take them through on the areas that they would like us to take them to, hence having to meet with them and planning together with them. The other area is on the number of programs implemented to enhance tourism offerings. In this instance, they've identified Manyani Game Reserve as well as Robben Island.
Manyani is also currently being refurbished through SRI, and we're seeing with that very excellent program that we are going to do, they'll be able to receive the gap once it's completed. On Robben Island, last year we did the interpretive signage, and currently it's also to improve on the service level excellence through that program. And generally, we are going to conduct awareness-raising sessions in all the provinces based on the strategies that have come up with, as well as the standards. On enhancing offering, we are currently engaging with the NTOC treasure route from Mpumalanga right up to here. So what we've managed to do is to meet with the Northwest so that we are able to assess the product within the route, as well as how communities along the route can benefit from this process. It's a partnership that we have been entered into with the association, so that over 3 years we are able to support the route as we have done with the Maldives Dragon Fest route. On the 8 World Heritage Sites, last year we did 5 in terms of interpretive signage. Currently we are left with 3, which is Kreslof, Humankind, Trigger Fort, and Isimangaliso. We only managed to get 2 MOAs with Isimangaliso as well as Kreslof, Humankind. Trigger Fort Dome, we are waiting on it now, simply because DI is still an interim manager of this site. But we are going to enter into an MOA with the Free State province. As much as we know that it borders between Northwest as well as Free State, and we saw that 70% of the dome is within Northwest. But because the management ultimately wants the expansion, it will be between the two provinces as well as the communities within the area of Free State. On the full-time equivalent coming out of the ECWP, our standard was 451. We were able to exceed the target in 644, which we managed to get out of the process. And we are hoping that last year we couldn't manage to get the incentive grant. Because already in quarter one we have exceeded, we are sure that we'll be able to get the incentive grant to do more in terms of the vaccination.
Thank you very much. I allow the department to say as much as it has left so that members are able to engage the question to give their input. Thank you very much. Over to you, members. Honorable Kumbok. Honorable Macho Bailey. Honorable Marcel. Oh, Honorable Fox. Thanks.
Chairperson, I'm happy for the opportunity. I wonder if you would allow me a little bit of latitude. As always, we have a very, very comprehensive and high-quality presentation from the department. It's one of the reasons why this committee is special to serve on, because the people that are here before us do take their appearance of the committee very seriously, and today is no exception. And we had a very, very long report about various internal targets that the department has set, and a detailed analysis of where they've matched up to those targets and where not. So my colleague will comment on the report in much more detail. What I'd like to make is that, in a sense, perhaps the timing is unfortunate, because we have very, very serious problems in tourism at the moment, which cut across all party lines. Even the Minister of Tourism himself has stated that there are challenges that we need to address, and and committees have been set up to try and work through the impact on what he called the unintended consequences of the new visa regulation. So, in a sense, as much as this report that we've received today is very welcome and needed, and we did ask the department to come and present it, It would be a pity if we did not get some feedback from this very high-powered delegation to us as to what's actually happening. As always, Chairperson, you will know that I and my party have asked for a greater emphasis on numerical data, so we can actually get a quantitative feel of what is happening in the industry as opposed to a merely qualitative input. And I would really like, through you, Chairperson, to ask if there is any further information as to what is happening in the industry due to the new visa regulation, and where the department sees this issue going, and to what extent we can now quantify exactly what's happening or not. That's my first question. The second thing, which I think also has happened with us that necessarily having a role in the report that we've got, is the steady declining currency that we have. And I think the Rand has hit record lows now against several major other currencies, and that trend is continuing. Although this is the department and not SA Tourism that's appearing before us today, much of the budget of SA Tourism is spent overseas, where they have to purchase advertising within the print or electronic media. And quite clearly the decline in the Rand is going to have a major impact on just how much they can do, because they can buy far less now of that advertising with that decline. And therefore my second question would be, and I realize it wasn't part of the presentation, but we have some extremely experienced people here who do work for the department. Can they give us some idea what that impact is and what alternative strategies are now being pursued to make what has always been a relatively limited budget stretch a little bit further, bearing in mind that even less now than they started off at the beginning of the year. I don't know, might have taken a fourth cover, I don't know, but I would like to know what we are doing in the sense that we now have a sense of double talent. We have a situation where it's more difficult to tourists to come, particularly if they have young children, and we have a marketing regime which has been severely constrained by the depreciation of our currency. So when at the very time that the department needs to up the advertising and perhaps educate tourists overseas as how they can overcome these new visa regulations, the ability to do so has been cut because of the decline in rand. And I think those are the two biggest issues we have in tourism at the moment. And as much as this report is important, and my colleague Honourable Foster will talk to it, I think we are wasting opportunities. We just have this very capable delegation give us some insights as to what is happening on those two very important issues. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Crumple. You just touched on the issues that are very much on the agenda. Even the Chief of Staff would request it to give us some responses where applicable.
Thanks, Chairperson. And we really appreciated the report, whereas I was getting lost on quarter four and quarter three because we are getting used to this technology of us. I've got my tablet. When I try to open quarter four, it doesn't open. And we have got quarter three. Thanks. We acknowledge the development of the 2013 State of Tourism Report as indicated on page 25 of the presentation. We want to know if there are any indications of the state of tourism now after the introduction of the migration law by the Minister of Home Affairs, and how will that affect tourism in the country? And also still on the same issue, how does you anticipate the impact of these laws to be on your department's commitment to reduce barriers to tourism as indicated on page 34 and 35 of the presentation under quarter three? And the last one, on the SA Tourism report, the research report indicates that immigration restrictions, safety concerns and lack of marketing accounts for the biggest obstacles to international tourism. How are you planning to address these obstacles as the department? I thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Let me welcome the report that we got this morning, our presentation. I've got just a few questions to ask. The first one will be on the FTEs. as you have indicated, that the project was not really done to the full, and that is why we're not in the position to get the incentives and so on. I just wanted to check, what are we doing about this one here, more especially in the municipalities? I think I did ask about some of the languages in the past. What are we doing to assist the municipalities? Because it's really a problem to them to be in the position to calculate the FTEs and even to know how they can access this grant for them to be able to go on. What are we doing about it? Secondly, in this report, in most cases, I don't see us talking about the baseline. Where do we come from as well as in the together? Is it not really important to have that? And we talked about the vacancy rate of 5%, which I think we have maintained. In a situation where we really have this high unemployment rate, can you translate the 5% into a number? How many are we talking about? What do we still have for this 5%? Yeah, and then the other one is about the intended, the unintended consequences of visa regulations. Was the honorable member did mention about it. I think we need to have a comprehensive investigation about this one here, so that we know what is actually happening. When you look at, there was a report from the SSA, which we have here, which indicates that there's been a decrease ever since 2011, right up to now. And this visa regulation started in June. Then what could be other things that are causing this decline? I think we need to look into that one also and check as to whether it is really this visa regulation or maybe there are other things that are affecting the tourism. Yeah, I think those are the ones that I'm hearing. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mazele. Honorable Force, without making preamble, can you zoom into the questions on the presentation?
From my rest, Madam Chair, but the preambles pretty much lead to the question, and it's been a very detailed presentation, so therefore I do hope that you will allow me to unpack some of the issues which I do believe is very important for us to achieve some of these targets, because as a collective, ultimately we have some ideas and we have some suggestions and obviously concerns, and all of that obviously needs to feed into the system via the parliamentary portfolio committee process. Now, having said that, Madam Chair, the presentation, in my view, highlights the major issues that we need to focus on as a department, but what we really need to do is to zoom in on those very specifics that we need to address. And in my view, there are three important challenges. I call them the tourism triple challenges. And that is affordability, geographic spread, and transformation. Now, under affordability, we must address the issue of accessibility. Now, the domestic tourism figures are in decline, and we know the reasons for that, because it's simply too expensive for South Africans to travel and experience their country. And much has been said about the subjects, I'm not going to go into much detail. But I see that certain indicators refer to the relationship between the tourism department and that of, for example, provincial parks, which was mentioned, the training, and so on. And also the World Heritage Sites, and there's been a number of those sites listed. So there are various opportunities that we need to focus on in this regard. Now, the tourism department, obviously, do not have much control over most of these facilities, but what we do have control over is to become a department that basically serves as an incubator and build bridges between those other departments to make the issue very clear that we have a country which is blessed with so many natural resources, and therefore we have a lot of these national parks and other world heritage sites. So obviously the maintenance of those sites lie with the different department and the upkeep, etc. But what we need to do is we need to convince those departments to open up those parks and World Heritage sites on key days of the South African calendar. And one could, for example, consider specific public holidays, which is World Tourism Day, which will be celebrated in September, or World Environmental Day, or you can follow simply the example of the cable car in Cape Town, where you have free access in the month of your birthday by simply presenting your South African ID. So we have to use these type of best practices to make sure that we open up these parks and make the, and deal with the accessibility issue. Because we have to make sure that as a department, we create an environment where we can beef up domestic tourism by leveraging these strategic assets in our country to our advantage, but also something that will benefit all South Africans, so that they can ultimately visit these parks and other world heritage sites. Because you're putting a lot of emphasis on training tourist guides and dealing with the customer service side of things, but I think there is a missed opportunity that you can focus on that will assist you in that target of reaching your desired numbers in terms of domestic travel. Then in the Visiting Information Center, I raised this in previous meetings and I see that it's one of the key performance indicators. Now we know that many of these Visiting Information Centers fall within the local government sphere. But I do believe that as a national department, we perhaps should set a national framework in terms of the functioning of these Visiting Information Centers. Because in many cases, municipalities do not often have the knowledge to manage or to run these Visiting Information Centers to the benefit of tourism. And so they will reflect nationally very poorly on our tourism product if we do not manage and operate these facilities to the best of our ability. Now, I've often made the point that these Visiting Information Centers should be modern, they should be relevant, and they should ultimately work towards destination development so that they actually play a meaningful role in that town or within that municipality. And I think the National Department should really take this matter very seriously, because some municipalities are simply closing these offices because of lack of funding. But they should rather be closed on the lack of functionality, so that we should actually go in as a National Department and set a standard how to fund, how to manage these offices, what is expected of the municipality, etc. Because most of your key indicators, such as destination development, product development, marketing, etc., are all pretty much paper exercises. But if we can get those Visiting Information Centers to actually become incubator of skills, product development, destination development, of all these different aspects that are listed as key indicators on the national platform, then I'm sure that we'll be able to turn those Visiting Information Centers around, make them relevant, and let them get on with the job of developing products in the region and also marketing their towns. The colleagues have raised the issue of the visa regulations. I would like to just ask the question about the Interministerial Committee that has been established in this regard. Now, Grant Thornton has been appointed by the Tourism Business Council of South Africa to undertake a study in this regard. They indicate that there's been about 66,000 tourists that have not come to South Africa as a result of these regulations, and the calculated estimate in terms of land value lost in revenue comes to about 2.9 billion rand. So these are very big figures, and obviously something that that is very concerning, not to the industry, but for us as a country as a whole. So the Interministerial Committee has been set up specifically to deal with these unintended consequences and to consider various proposals to deal with it as such. So I would like to ask maybe the Chief of Staff, because Madam Chair, you did indicate that she is here representing the Ministry, just to find out how far are we with the Interministerial Committee in terms of its terms of reference, who will serve on it, when will it convene, and what, when will the outcomes be made known. Because so far not much has been said in that space, although the ministers referred to the Interministerial Committee, but we cannot simply refer to it. The time is now to tell us what is the terms of reference of this committee, and when will they convene, and what are the outcomes, or when will the outcomes be made known. Then, Madam Chair, the SRI projects. We've seen during our oversight in the Eastern Cape a visible failure of one of these SRI projects, where money has been paid to the tune of 18 million rand to the contractor by the Buffalo municipality, and I don't know how that has happened, because we've expressed often our concerns that we cannot simply pay contractors until the job has been delivered. There are certain processes in place, these are public funds, and we must adhere to the Public Financial Management Act when we make payments to contractors that don't deliver on capital projects. Now, we have expressed our concern previously on the SRI. Now, going out and actually seeing for ourselves the result of some of these failures is absolutely shocking, and I think as a department we will have to draw the line in the sand to say we cannot be just simply throwing good money after bad continuously. I know the SRI projects have good intentions, but I clearly think that we will have to reconvene and consider a fresh approach in how to deal with the SRI projects as a whole. In some cases, we've seen very good SRI projects being implemented, and we have to learn from those experiences, but in many cases, we've seen a complete failure. And we cannot go on like this, because again, Madam Chair, the SRI project is there to create jobs in the industry, but at the same time, also to deal with domestic tourism, to put tourism infrastructure in place to deal with the domestic tourism approach. And I think, therefore, this department needs to seriously take heed of our concerns and our proposals in this regard. Then, it's not much from the presentation, but I would just like to ask the acting DG, how far are we with the process in terms of the appointment of a DG? I know that previously there's been information related to this committee that was advertised, the post was advertised, and that's the last that I've heard of that, and I would like to know how far are we with the appointment of the position. We've got good faith in the acting DG, he's been really doing a good job as acting DG, but I think as a department we need to know, or as a committee at least, how far we will be appointment of the DG. Madam Chair, then the tour guides. There was a committee meeting held a few months ago where we spoke about the issues within the legislation. You'll recall the grading council came up, tour guides, the training, the registration, etc. Much has been said today about the tour guides, training and the capacity, etc. So I would just like to find out from the department with regards to the tour guides training. How does that fit with the legislation? Is it something that is standing separate from that possible amendment to the legislation? Because ultimately the tour guides play a very important role in selling our products and making sure that we have the right narrative, as the acting DG has explained earlier on, to ensure that our tour guides have the necessary skills and knowledge to be able to do what is expected from them. I think that was also the reason why we asked that there should be perhaps a change to the act, so that we make sure that there's continuous assessment of tour guides. So we'd just like to get some information on that. And then the tourism complaints officer. Apparently there's 100% compliance, as mentioned here this morning. But what are we measuring against to know that there was 100% compliance? I think perhaps at a future meeting, we could get a presentation on the workings of the Office of the Tourism Complaints Officer. Because on the one hand, the Tourism Complaint Officer is there to protect the integrity of tourism and to make sure that there's quality assurance. But on the other hand, if there are complaints, one must make sure that those complaints are dealt with. But I think there needs to be a discussion around the functioning of the Tourism Complaints Officer and what is the expectations from that office, because it's new. I think it's been only in operation for the last 3 or 4 months. So obviously there is some opportunity for this committee to have a presentation on the actual functioning of that office. And then the Grading Council. I think there was one reference made to it, but I would like to find out exactly. I know that it sits with the South African Tourism, but surely the department must have specific objectives relating to the Grading Council. And I remember previously we haven't reached many of our targets in terms of the number of establishments graded. So I would like to find out from the department how far we were with making sure that we are reaching our targets, because once again, that is part of the quality assurance in terms of the tourism industry. Madam Chair, I believe it therefore now, and then lastly, the Tourism Day. The Deputy DD for Domestic Tourism mentioned that there is a program planned in Limpopo. If we can have more information on that, because I think it's important. It's a celebration of our tourism in the country, and I think the entire committee should be fully briefed, given the fact that it's next month. What does the department keep doing in terms of celebrating National Tourism Day? Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable, for all your questions, they are relevant. I think the question on the DG appointment, the chief, the chief, what? Chief of staff will respond to that one, because I think she has more insight and understanding around staff issues. So I think to be in a position to deal with that. I see that tourism incentive program has been moved from program 4 to program 2. What was the thinking around that one? There is a 78 million rand, which was quite a sore point for us as the Committee of Tourism, that the department was called upon to go and talk about it, and it was referred to Treasury. It was in the third quarter, and nothing has been said about it. What you're telling us about the third quarter? Honorable Ford has already checked on the details of the tourism month. I'm sure we'll get them today. And the department, what is it doing to prepare the industry around the gazetted tourism BEE code? Is the tourism industry aware of it? Has it been informed about it and all that? Maybe the department will actually also tell us when the MTSS review will be completed, as far as they are dealing with it now, because it's been in the pipe, and we'd like to see it when it's online and out of the pipe. And around the issue of social responsibility or extended public works program, what is the department doing to improve on the implementation of this project and to avoid what happened in the previous financial year? This question has been asked, but do you have any strategies to prevent what happened in the financial year? I know Honorable Ford has raised a question about it. And the other issue of interest, the department is sending professionals to University of Pretoria in order to beef up the implementation of tourism, all tourism aspects in the municipalities. Is there any value or money in this project? Because it looks like municipalities are not actually responding according to the way the finances of the department have been expended to try and support them. How best can this be pushed as much as possible? I know provinces have got their role to play and municipalities have got their role to play, but can the department have a way of working with municipalities so that there is a mutual understanding between the various stakeholders in the municipalities in order to be able to implement these projects that are good, but are not serving the purpose for which they were thought of or for which they were devised? And of course, around the issue of the rand dollar tourism is quite a big problem, and it's a national problem. And really, Chief of Staff would really like to get some response around the question that Honorable Ford asked about. Maybe you also have got a role to play to tell us where the touting is, SAT, marketing South Africa, because it means a lot. Thank you so much. We're quite a mouthful, but I'm sure using various members in the delegation,
you'll be able to respond to these questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I think the questions relating to some aspects of the local government.
Sorry, Gigi. They see outside, maybe if people can, those who are not saying something can go and take a cup of tea, working tea, thanks.
Thank you very much, Officer. The questions pertinent to EPWP and the turnaround strategies around that, as well as some of the work that we do with regard to support directly to local governments via provinces and so on. I'm gonna give those to DG Domestic Tourism, Ms. McKee. The question pertaining to yes, indeed, the Honourable Chairperson, the questions pertaining to members of staff in the department, particularly the DG's appointment, those are matters for the ministry. We also, the CEO will deal with some of the issues pertaining to some of the elements related to the exchange rate issue. We will deal with extensively. Of course, Luru will deal with the issues pertaining to the when and how. We will also deal extensively with some of the issues that have been raised by Honorable Kumba. Yes. So I'll give to the colleagues that so that they can go first and then we'll deal with the rest of the elements.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Just on the question raised by Mr. Krumbrook around the currency losses, I think we know this is one of our largest challenges. In the department, we've had several discussions with South African Tourism on that one. In fact, over the past 5 years, the total value lost due to currency based on the marketing budget is about 300 billion rand. This matter has also been discussed with National Treasury. We met with them some few weeks ago to address concerns around currency losses and how we can better manage that in our budget process. You recall largely in the adjustment budget, we've also requested some funding of which we basically got some money in the region of about 545 million, but that do not sort of really cater. So that has a big impact on our marketing in foreign countries, because some of those deliverables are linked to the foreign currency. So therefore, I think Treasury currently has approved last year already that we can transfer the funds that are related to the marketing budget upfront, so that SAP can put that directly into the foreign bank. So that was the first thing we've done. We've had a discussion with Treasury on this. We've also submitted a proposal to rectify this in the outer 2 years, because as we know, for the 16-17 year, there's no funds available for additional funding. So basically 17-18, 18-19, and I think Treasury has recognized that this is a big problem for South Africa, not only for the Department of Tourism and SAT, but for all those departments who are functioning outside our borders and as a sort of saving foreign currency. So I think this is a matter that the department is dealing with on a high level, and we've also presented our case at the Treasury meeting where all the departments presented who are part of the economic class. I think that's the first one. The second one is just on the percentage. The 5%, I think, just to put in perspective, government target as indicated, because this is a variance normally, is 12%. We are 5.8%. And if you revert it to the establishment, it's about 25 posts out of 500. So, but there's also time to sort of appoint a person to start his advertising. It can take you anything between 6 weeks and 3 months, depending on the period of care and so on. So I think that I can deal. Perhaps just to deal while I'm on the floor, with the issue about the funds that we have surrendered to National Treasury. That was dealt with, Honorable Chair, in the adjustment budget. So in the adjustment budget after the bill has been signed into the act, that money has been deducted from our baseline budget. So that has been dealt with in that time. I think this is why we haven't dealt with it in quarter three and four, because that had happened in October, November last year. I think that's the ones I will deal with at this time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. I'll still use the SRI as well as the relationship side, as well as the check up and getting the tourism program. On the how can assist municipalities to be able to access the grant as well as calculate the FTP, the Department of Public Works is the one that aligns the target to the budget. They calculate and say to those who are participating in the ECWP that these are based on the type, on the budget you've been given, these are the amounts of evidence that we need to put on the table. And yesterday we had a meeting with Treasury and Public Works on the report of the whole country. And most municipalities are participating and they are really producing the number of jobs that are needed. It might be very few of those. I just think that I didn't bring the report with me, but I can go into it and check which ones are not able to do that, and maybe we can request the Department of Public Works to see how to assist them. On the issue of this mass failure of the FRS project here, we have quite a lot of things I honor for. And what we have decided is to review the way we are running the program in terms of ensuring that whatever payment that we give out, it must be paid in a milestone that can be verified by several people to say, yes, this has been delivered. The other area of key importance that we have done in terms of their review is to separate the responsibilities between the person who's building as well as contractor. Each and the implementer will bring his own people to do the rest of the thing. But for now, we are saying we have the one that we can sort in to look into what this implement is putting on the ground. And another thing that we are going to do as a department is to ensure that we have a company with the necessary skills to be able to guide us in this whole program. On the department readiness of building bridges to ensure that we leverage from the World Heritage site, we are having projects that we are working on with Banca in terms of ensuring that the most of our people receive or are able to also visit this area. Banca, every September they have what they call, it's a full day actually, in September where South Africans are able to do that, including the provinces, the provincial parts as well. They open up their parts for the locals to be able to go there for free. Then the main problem would be how we communicate this so that they know when are these open weeks going to be done. On the VLC, the way they are functioning, I think as we do the route, because we'll be assessing the products along the route, which where we have VLCs, we need to ensure that they must be able to be responsive to what the tourists are looking for. Of the tourism month plan, we have the vendors to be able to share. We'll be having the media launch on the 16th of August, which is mainly the responsibility of SAT, as well as the morning live outlook at the following day, the 17th, in Euphoria, that's in photo. And then the business breakfast, which the minister will be engaging with the industry, it will be on the 3rd of September in the district of Capricorn, very soon to be decided upon by the province. And on the very day, on the 3rd, in the afternoon,
there'll be a special torch from a Pungube, so it's a heritage site. The following day, it will be a public lecture at the University of Venda, which will be the 4th of September. And then on the 24th, which is the Heritage Day, the province will host a welcome dinner in preparation for the actual day, the following day, which is the 26th of September. Because the 27th is on a Sunday, we have shifted the date for the celebrations to be on a Friday in order to capitalize on the media. If it's a Sunday, it becomes a little bit of a problem. And this will be at Kuta Gate, Valhalla. And within that space as well, we'll be launching one of our
The issue of the INC, I think I'm going to stick to that because that was the direct question to me. We have been informed that there will be a convening of the ministers of the security cluster and the economic cluster. And these ministers will then look at the impact of the new regulation. I mean, what must be clear here is that in no way is there any question or challenge to the intention of the new regulation for home affairs. But it's to look at the impact, at any possible impact to other sectors of our economy. And the Deputy President will be chairing that meeting. And now it's a matter of getting these important people to meet. We do know that the meeting will be happening soon because it is something that is very, very pertinent to our country, to our government at the moment, and both Minister Igawa and Minister Hanekom are on one page on this matter. Then the other matter was the DD appointment. They were interviews held on the 20th of July. We haven't had any cabinet or cabinet committee meetings since, because as you know, they were in a court law process and Parliament was in recess. So what happens is this matter will now be taken, it has been taken already to the DPSA as they present this to cabinet. So that process is underway and we will hear from there. It's now out of tourism hands. Thank you.
Let me perhaps start by agreeing that yes, indeed, there's a need to create more understanding about the role of the campaign office. But equally so, I think also about the role of the National Register for Tourism. Sometimes there's a little bit of confusion as to the role of the National Register of Tourist Guides, especially the provincial register. In some instances, people think the National Register of Tourist Guides should have registered guides, and the National Register of Guides. So I think we will welcome an invitation, and we can bring the two offices to give a proper briefing to the provincial in terms of their role of the process. Almost, you know, in addition to we are strengthening the capacity, the internal capacity with regards to project management. With the understanding that these projects are not the usual type of projects, they are projects in the built environment. So we do need that particular capacity now. So that the advice that we get is actually coming from people that secret authority on these matters, and we are able to actually take things forward. Of course, there are also discussions that we need to have with applicants, because the framework is a precise framework within which we actually implement peace process. And if there are certain things that could be considered in terms of certain requirements being given some degree of exemption, that's the route we should be looking into. Because this project they come with a standard labor component to it. So they are not at all feasible in terms of implementation where one would go and get a big firm that can actually just roll out this thing and put it there. They are designed to be implemented in this particular way. So there's always this tension between money to complete the structure versus the money to be able to pay the wages, which are actually a specified amount. And if we don't pay it in that particular way, we will actually get a qualification because we would have deviated from the rules without actually being allowed to do so. So that is an area that we are actually paying a lot more attention to so that we can actually be in a position to complete it. But I'm also very happy that there is a clear indication that there are areas where things have went well. And we should draw some lessons from the areas that things have went well. We did indicate previously on the Bushwick system that we conducted this forensic investigation. We have the reports and the some consequent actions that we are actually taking, inclusive of actually reporting some cases to police in areas where we believe that it is the police. So those are fully underway. There are also internal matters that are actually being attended to in cases where we feel that people that are responsible for some things is not necessarily the issue they are responsible for. So we are paying very serious attention to this, and we do realize that it is a very important program. We do need the program. We must actually still continue this. It brings the market job that people on the ground actually need. But the main thing being able to actually show this is what we've actually been able to bring out. The COO spoke to the issue about the currency losses. And I think he explained what is being done from a financial perspective. FAT is also looking at how to approach the market some of them on hand. Which would actually consolidate the resources to be able to actually target a particular certain area the market area that is beyond just the specific single country, and that would also assist in terms of being able to still access some of these with the little resources that we have. The impact goes even beyond this because it goes to the rules. For instance, petty cash today is not the same as petty cash that was 3 or 4 years ago. And if the rules say your petty cash needs to be, now things that you have to get through petty cash, we now probably have to start getting into free concessions. And it's purely because they are operating in a different environment, which has got different currency issues and so on. This is a problem that is not only facing Jordan, it's also facing DACO, it's also facing DCI and all other people that have got issues with the brand saying funds. And it does require a whole of government approach and not just our department and the entity and all. The Chief of Staff has spoken to the man that was raised with regards to the visa. The one thing that perhaps we should just highlight is that tourism has not been the decline system. It has not. And the Statistician General has released data and he has spoken to that data since that period. This is the first time that he has spoken about the decline. Not really. They are a number of factors currently And the answer that I'm giving is not necessarily a scientific answer, in terms of having done some detailed analysis and so on and so forth. But there has been a noticeable decline in the figures that are out now for April. April, we do know that is the period that we have challenges with the attacks on pollination. And one looks at figures, particularly within Sandek, those were significantly low. And whether that was the case or not, we can't quite necessarily say so. But we take note of that decline. We take note of what the environment was like in that material. In the previous year, we actually had the Ebola issue. And that Ebola issue affected not just us, it also affected the entire continent. Now, the issue with regard to how decisions are taken by people that serve the country, to put it like that. Brochures for products in terms of the joint marketing agreements with products and the operators that are on the other side, they are normally completed on brochures in around June, July. Now, when you take a decision as to whether you will proceed or you will not proceed, you look at all the factors in that particular environment, at that particular time, including the strength of the products and so on and so forth, and the appeal of the product to the market that you actually sell to, and whether you will still be able to make money as an operator when you're selling that particular product. At that particular point in time, that is the decision that gets to be made there will tell whether those products will actually feature on in those brochures. So it is not like a decision gets done now, and that decision, when it is done now, the impact then is instant. A decision gets to be made today. If the decision about whether to include or not are in a month or 2 months time, that then comes in. But down the line, when you get to a point whether people are now accessing those products or not, then that will start becoming difficult, and you will then be able to see that. But I think, as Nuri has put it, I'm sure once the discussions have actually gone into the details that they will, there will definitely be a pronouncement in terms of what then is going to happen with regard to that. So there is an iterative process underway, and we will also wait for that particular process. The issues around transformation. I'm just trying to get to the specific question which I think which was related to preparation, yes, preparing the industry, yes, of course. Preparing the industry for BEE, for the Shepherdson, in terms of knowing that the garbage is out and so on. The industry is aware. In fact, we received a number of phone calls from the industry, and they were saying we should come and present what the DCI has published. But we can't do so. We can't do so on the chairperson because we did a consultative process across the country. Every province, some provinces we went twice, one or two we probably went even thrice, depending on the size and the products that are actually in that particular province, the numbers of the products that are in that province. We then completed the document, had extensive discussions with TDCSA, they even had a task team of folks that were actually doing this presentation. And then we submitted what we had completed from the council that was submitted to the Minister of Tourism. The Falcon then agreed and submitted this to the Minister of ETI after a very lengthy and consultative process, which also saw input that came in writing and so on, and all this was actually taken into account. Now, once this has been submitted to the Minister of the DTI, it is no longer a tourism document, it is a document of the Minister of the DTI. And the Minister of the DTI has now published the document. If the department was to go out, or the council was to go out and start detailed discussions about that document, it amounts to influence. So the public now must actually engage the document, and they must write to the Minister of the DTI and say, this is our view on this, this is our view on this, this is our view on this. So that has been our response also to CDTSA, and they understood where we're coming from. Even individual businesses, large businesses that have called us and said, but can you consider this? And we said, no, what you could do, you can ask the DTI to come and speak to you about the document. They know about it. They have gone through it extensively until they then published it. So there is a process issue that could compromise the entire document if we get involved at any particular stage at this point in time. But we are confident that the level of engagement that we had with the industry is certainly prepared sufficient to be able to go through this. And then individual businesses were there, big and small. High Technology came here, especially Stellenbosch. We had another version as we were going out in the West Coast. But we had all these big businesses that are here that actually attended. In Durban, in St. Lucia, in Newcastle, Paris, and so on. So we had all these engagements, and ultimately we were very comfortable. I must say, Honorable Chairperson, that everybody knew about this aspect. We submitted our consultative process, methods and so on for consideration by Minister of the DTI, and then we got to the point where we are now. I think other points were suggestions. They do resonate with the department's thinking and direction is. With regards to the grading concern, we do believe that the grading concern is still necessary. There are views that with the emergence of and so on, do we still really need the grading cancer and other bigger products? I think a similar question to say that if they themselves are considered to be of this level of they are considered, I'll give you an example. You've got Fan 1, which is the old Formula 1. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's a one-star. But then it is referred to as a one-star and so on. So there are those types of confusions and so on. But the most important thing here is that we wouldn't want the country a situation where the quality we are talking about is solely dependent on what has been expressed. But it is not necessarily tested and validated. What appeals to me may not necessarily appeal to the field. And he may go to a particular place and actually say, this is excellent. But I would go to that particular place and say, I don't think so. So there will always be those conversations. While whatever people have expressed is actually valid, there's still a need for that mechanism to validate. And we do believe that many times like that in the future, we need to strengthen it. We need to make sure that the systems, processes, and even what gets to be graded and awarded, so there must be also MME issues around this in terms of what has been expressed there. Does it correlate with also what people are saying on the ground, but also just the general quality in terms of the standard itself. So we do believe that it has a space and we should still continue with it. Honorable Chairman, you raised a very critical question with regards to working with municipalities. And the capacity thereof. We do believe, Honorable Chairperson, that in terms of the training, there is the focus. Because there is a technical aspect relating to the person that is supporting the function within that particular environment. And that relates to how to get tourism effected into the local economic development, how to make sure that the planning also takes it into account in terms of the IDPs. How do we ensure that how do we account for the impact that it is actually making within that particular locality? For and it also helps to have someone inside the administration within the municipality who has an understanding of what are these issues. But what really needs to happen, and of course it's an intense process, so it's not going to be within 1 year. What we really need to get into is to have a complete picture of what is in the municipality. So if we are talking about a particular municipality in we're talking about a municipality like, I'm sorry, give a practical example, like Empoleni in South. We then ask ourselves, what are the attractions there, and what are the products there, and what are their support needs? This will ask itself on the chairperson to be able to go to where the support is needed, and will then be able to say, this particular product, whether it's a okay product, this is what it needs, and these are the challenges they are faced with now. So it could be administrative. Their contract may not necessarily be in place in the correct order and so on. Then you go and support the tickets that which is needed to be supported. But if we don't have that level of information, and we need to be able to grow in provinces to be able to have that level of control over this information, once we have got that, then we'll be in a position to know exactly what they need and where the opportunities are and so on. So, but this information will also be useful for people that actually want to go and invest in a particular area. They can actually see this is how much the movement is, how many people are visiting this place in that particular attraction and so on and so forth, and repeating it up within that particular environment and so on. And what are the things that they will probably need? Is it additional restaurants? Is it accommodation? What is it? So even investors will be able to make use of that information from it. But that is the second, the kind of area that we now want to actually get into and be able to control over that particular information. Honorable Chairperson, we have noted the remarks with regard to the 78, and we are working hard, very hard, to make sure that we don't have the situation in the situation. So we would like to give you comfort with regard to that. NTSS review, we are targeting the first quarter of the year that we will be able to conclude this. But then there's the cabinet process we will definitely come and also have the views of what exactly of the committee in terms of what exactly are some of the observations. Because in terms of this environmental scan, we're trying to get as much as possible from different perspectives in terms of their own observations of what is this that works, what is it that may be improved, and why that needs to be put in front. And we welcome input from the council with regards to that, so that we take that into account in terms of going forward. We have noted some of the things that eventually get affected. Honestly, I think we have covered all the areas. Like I said, some of the proposals that really were very clear. Our collection, we are about 520, and that then 5% of that would be about 230. That concludes our explanation on the matter for the week.
Honourable members, that's it from the department, and I would like the department for having come and having given us some clarity on the various questions that we have and given us the information that was most required. But we'll be calling you for something else. I think the next time we'll see you will be for domestic tourism. And when you address us on domestic tourism, we're also given the enhancements they should put in place
to actually promote domestic policy. Thank you very much from the department. DG, thank you. So, acting DG, thank you very much. And honourable members, thank you very much. Honourable members, I must say, we won't be adopting anything because we don't have a quorum. So, but your participation, your questions were very, 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 very useful to this particular engagement. And thank you very much to the department. I've just got a few announcements to make to the members of the committee. Rather wish an action. But within the department and the SQ. The minister forwarded to the committee the SAG review report. And I'm sure it is, it has been distributed. If not, it will be distributed. The South African Tourism is coming next week to do exactly the same exercise that the department did today. The House of Assembly report to the Eastern Cape, I think, will be made available next week. And I was following you wherever you were going, whatever possible. You were such a jolly lot. It's kind of bad weather that we're experiencing that day. But I was seeing all the smiles, the happiness, and the joy. And we welcome you, Conrad Machobeni from EFF. And we really appreciate your contribution in committee, your contribution in the committee, because this committee is all about contributions towards improving tourism, towards building tourism in the country, for the country, for the nation. We're talking about national issues. Otherwise, the rest of the things we can do now, but in the committee, let us do what we were brought by society to come and do, to actually build South Africa so that it's a better South Africa for tomorrow. And today, we should work towards making tomorrow better than today. And thank you very much, honorable members. The meeting is adjourned.